Good morning to you. You're a cardiologist at St. Luke's Mid-America Heart Institute and the Vice President of Research at St. Luke's Health System. And we're going to talk today about the issue of heart failure. Define it, demystify it, and share some more information. And it says here, more than 8 million people are estimated to have it by 2030. It is heart failure. Now more than ever, in the light of COVID-19, people are focusing on their health and how to take better care of themselves, especially those with underlying conditions that makes them more vulnerable to the virus. All right, and the doctor here, he is going, since he wrote 220 peer-reviewed papers, and he has a resume that's 14 pages long, he knows his stuff. All right, doctor, please share the important information that we're going to talk about, heart failure. What is heart failure?
Well, you know, it can be a confusing term to a lot of folks, and it's understandable because when you hear the term heart failure, it sounds pretty bad, pretty ominous. Sounds like your heart's failed, it's not working anymore, and sounds like it's not much that you'll be able to do about it. And the good news is that while it is a serious condition and it can be associated with bad prognosis, there are lots of things that can be done to prevent it and lots of things that can be done to treat it. And it does not mean that your heart has failed. It is not a heart attack. It's not a cardiac arrest. It does not mean that your heart stopped. It's more of a chronic condition that has lots of different causes and risk factors, where the ability of the heart muscle to effectively pump blood through the rest of your body to supply vital organs and tissues has been impacted. So heart is not working as effectively as it should. But again, lots can be done to make that better.
So is there a certain criteria that they put that label on it? Is it certain, like, you know, your blood's supposed to pump at an X, Y, Z amount, and if it's not, then maybe this person is having heart failure?
Yeah, it's not quite as simple as that. It's actually what we call a clinical diagnosis, which means that we usually makes a diagnosis based on warning signs and symptoms that patients develop. Heart failure is a highly symptomatic condition, has a high burden of symptoms like breathlessness, inability to do physical activity or exercise because you're short of breath, or fatigued all the time, swelling in the ankles, inability to sleep at night because you're short of breath. And if a patient has any of those types of symptoms, we usually would do an appropriate investigation to measure the heart function, among other things, and do a number of diagnostic procedures to figure out how well the heart is working, what else is going on, and that's typically how we arrive at a diagnosis.
And so, you know, why is it so prevalent? I mean, 8 million people, that's a lot of people, and it's, I guess that comment means that it's increasing. Why is that happening?
You're right, it is increasing, unfortunately. It's already highly prevalent in the United States. More than 6 million people have it today. As you mentioned, it's estimated to go up to 8 million in a decade. And there are lots of reasons for it. One of them is that we're getting older as a society, and age is one of the risk factors, and not much you can do about your age, unfortunately. But there are lots of other risk factors you can do something about. These are chronic health conditions like high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, having blockages in the heart blood vessels, having kidney problems, sometimes also due to high blood pressure and diabetes. So those chronic health conditions are key risk factors that can be controlled, and controlling them can lower your risk of developing heart failure. So I think lots of reasons why it's going up. Another key message here is because once you develop heart failure, it can have real significant impact on how long you live and how well you feel. Trying to prevent it from occurring to begin with is absolutely critical, especially if you have risk factors.
So once you do have heart failure, the recovery or being able to, live and to fix it, not so easy. Is that what you're saying? Once you have it, once it's occurred.
Right. So once you're diagnosed with heart failure, again, there are different kinds of heart failure, but certainly for one of the more common types of heart failure, the good news is that there is lots that can be done to improve that bad prognosis I mentioned before. So if you kind of look at an average patient with heart failure, the risk of dying is about 50% at 5 years. And again, usually they have lots of symptoms as well, so the quality of life is impaired. The good news is we now have more effective treatments for heart failure than we've ever had in the past. Some of those things are lifestyle intervention, like appropriate diet, a physical activity program, and so forth. That's very important. But there are also medications and other types of treatments that can be available for patients with heart failure. And again, we have more of those than we've ever had in the past. Some have been around for decades. Some are just recently becoming available. And the critical important piece of information is some of the recent data that we've seen from medical studies implies that if you treat it with all of those effective treatments, you can extend your life by more than 6 years if you're a patient that's been diagnosed with heart failure. That's amazing, I think. The fact that you can extend your life by more than six years of spending time with your family and loved ones. And not only is your quantity of life better, not only do you live longer, but these interventions can also help you feel better as well. So both the quantity of life and the quality of life impact in a positive direction. That's one of the reasons that I wanted to partner with AstraZeneca to increase awareness of why heart failure is important and the fact that it can be treated very effectively to prolong life and improve the quality of life.
That's one great company, AstraZeneca. I've been doing this good news for 20 plus years. I must have done 100 shows with that company because they're educators, and two, they're for the people. They help people that can't afford drugs, medicine, they're very socially conscious and responsible. So I thank you for, and I thank them for this opportunity to speak with you. So now, how does somebody know that they had heart failure? A heart attack. You're semi out, or all things happen, right? How does somebody know that they have heart failure? What's the difference?
Well, I think the critical part is the warning signs. Keep in mind that if you're developing any of those warning signs, you've got to bring it to attention of your medical professional, your doctor. And those warning signs are things like breathlessness, fatigue, inability to exercise or do physical activity because of those symptoms, swelling, inability to sleep well at night because you're short of breath. All of those things can potentially suggest that you may be developing heart failure, already have it. So if you have any of those warning signs, critical to bring it to attention of your medical professional and talk to your doctor. Especially with pandemic going on right now, some folks have been kind of delaying medical care. And it's understandable, of course, because nobody wants to catch coronavirus. But your medical facilities around the country have really done a great job in most cases in terms of making it safe. And delaying medical care when you have warning signs like that is not a good idea. So talk to your doctor and make sure you get it addressed if you have any of those signs.
And if you have one of those signs and then you start to deal with it, can you over-exercise? Can you overdo it as well? Is that a concern for some? You know, if they had a heart attack or they had heart failure, can somebody then, you know, or is that good for you?
Well, yeah, no, it's a good question. And I would say it all depends on where you are and what your personal situation is, which is, once again, talking to a doctor who knows your medical history, who knows your health conditions and your risk factors and can give you personalized advice is so important. So typically, exercise is a good idea. But again, it all depends on your own personal situation. So talk to a doctor about that as well.
And I suggest, and I've been suggesting it always, and is to have a good doctor, go to your doctor, have an annual fix-up, go through the whole blood. I mean, I'm on a blood pressure, on a triglyceride, and I've been on, you know, for 10 or so years, or maybe more, 15 years, triglyceride, the blood pressure later on in my life. I'm 71. I do all I can to try to be wise based upon medicine. Medicine is helping save a lot of people. Isn't that so, Doc?
I think medications can help with lots of different health conditions, including heart failure, as we've talked about. Talking to a doctor about different treatment options, lifestyle and others is really critical. So yeah, absolutely correct. That's the right way to go.
Is there a website that people can go to?
Well, in addition to talking to a doctor, there is, of course, lots of information online. We live in the information age. Yeah, there are lots of sources. My recommendation would be to go to credible sources of information. One of the ones I would highly recommend is American Heart Association and other professional societies like American Diabetes Association and others that have lots of really, really good patient-facing information that's put there in digestible terms, very easy to understand, and really can learn a lot from those credible sources.
Doctor, I want to thank you for being a doctor and for doing such hard research. You help us all live longer, and I appreciate you going into that field. It's a very important field. And thank you for the interview.
Thanks so much for having me today.